Let the strong survive. It's good to worship, huh? It's a good day. You know, it really is a good day. The weather's great. I was thinking about John and Sarai here. In the middle of worship, he popped in my head. It was at your wedding rehearsal last year that I told Pastor John of Discover Church, John Brooks, I said, after the rehearsal, I'm going to go look at this building in Menominee Falls. Kind of dates it now, doesn't it? Now, Sarai thinks you've been married for about 47 years. John's like, it's been 6 blissful weeks. No, I'm kidding. It's been, you guys are still newlyweds. I don't know how long that lasts. How long does newlyweds, you know, I always wondered, people would say to my wife and I, you guys, you're like newlyweds, you know, because you've been married for a year or whatever. I still have thoroughly enjoyed being married to her. I haven't had any time where I've looked at her and I'm like, ugh, you're still here? You know, none of that. Really, I've enjoyed it all the way through. So I don't know what the newlywed thing is. Hopefully, it's a game, yeah. If you know the game, you're dating yourself, you know. I do have a lot to talk about today. I really do. So bear with me. We're going to, obviously, this is a nostalgic message, but it's, I think it's a forward-thinking nostalgic message. Is that possible to be forward-thinking nostalgic? That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna try it. And you know, this is it. This is about our building. If this is your first time here, you go, well, why does this man keep talking about building? Because we bought a new building, and we're gonna move in the new building, and next weekend's our last service here. It's not even a full service. It's an abbreviated service. Wear your work clothes. I'm not kidding. We have somebody showing up at 11 o'clock with a U-Haul truck, so we're going to block off a couple spots in the lot, and after service, we're going to start loading a U-Haul. And then the very next day, Sunday at 11 o'clock, the U-Haul truck's going to show up, and we can come back, and we're going to load up the U-Haul. Us and our sister congregation, they're invited on Saturday. I know it's Memorial Day weekend. Some of you are going, well, boy, Jim, you picked a really lousy time to schedule a move. It was the best we could do. They wanted to give us about 10 days notice, and we pushed it back to that time. That was our renegotiated time. It's absolutely crazy. So anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to share these things at the end. I'll refresh your memory about this. But it's a nostalgic time for me. I walk the halls, and I put some thought in each room. I look at the room. I remember what we did in this room. I remember what we did in this room. And the different memories and these sorts of things. And so that's kind of the backdrop, and this is where I'm going to go. We'll hit the word pretty quickly, and then I'm going to come back to the building. But you know it's about this move that we've got. But the word does give us some illustrations to what's been on my heart, which is good. Makes me think I'm not loony. Moses is the man. When we look at Israel, I mean, Moses was the guy through some of the most prolific moments, you know, out of Egypt and the parting of the sea and all of these sorts of things. And we learned so much from Moses. He's the guy who God used to pen the first 5 books of the scriptures, the Torah, the first 5 books. And he really is the guy. And it's interesting to see this verse because what they have in common is they're all about memorials. The Lord's name is forever. And what he was saying to Israel in Exodus 3 is, I'm telling you, I am forever Israel. I am forever. This is before they're even called Israel. But all you Hebrews, I am with you forever. I am a forever commitment to you. It's a wonderful testimony. And let my name be a memorial for you. So when they thought of God, they thought of a name forever. I mean, it's a type of, I think, a love letter between God and the Hebrews. The Lord's Passover is a memorial. It needs to be remembered for all generations. The Lord passed over. He spared. The Lord's feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the time of the wilderness. There's a 7-day festival right after the Passover where there's no yeast. Let that be a forever ordinance to remember what it was like to be in the Exodus. The Sabbath is a memorial. We are not made to serve Sabbath. Somewhere along the line, people have really distorted that. They've made, mankind is made to serve the Sabbath. But that's not true. The Sabbath is made for us. The Sabbath is for us. It's not that we serve it, but it's a memorial of a type, and we see that in Exodus 20. The fringes, the tzitzit on the garments are memorials, reminders of God's covenant, not to break God's laws. and aspects of the High Holy Days, and we can read them all in Leviticus 23. They're all kind of listed there in what each of the High Holy Days is about. And so Moses pens these things. I did want to give an honorable mention. What we know as Kiddush, what churches call communion, was a memorial for all times to remember. When you come together and you do this in remembrance of me, my blood and my body and what it means to you, hope and salvation, eternal life, healing, all these other things that it represents. Moses penned that list of bullet points, and he wrote this down. God taught Moses what memorials were about. Do you see it? And Moses taught the Israelites. And if it wasn't for Moses, God telling Moses, Moses telling the Israelites, Israelites would have nothing to work from. He literally taught them. He taught them things. God said, when you make an altar for me, use natural stone. Don't use stone that's been chipped and chiseled and shaped in any way. You use what I made for stone. Because that's good. And that's holy. What I made. There's a great new passage, new covenant passage in Peter. It just struck me. All of a sudden it dawned on me as it was being read today. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, very much God's design in that stone. You see that? There's so many pictures of stone. But God taught Moses how to teach the Israelites how to have memorials. And he used some whoppers of events to remember things by. This list, for example, are whopper events. God said, remember these things about me. Remember these things. There was a pretty well-known, and it's funny because I can't remember his name, psychologist, psychotherapist from some time ago. And he was notorious because he had an opening question for all of his new clients. So imagine you're sitting in his room and he's going to be a counselor for you, a therapist for you. And his opening question was, tell me your oldest memory. And people would tap into the memory bank. So I'm going to give you a second. Think of an old memory. If you can, you know. Older I get, the older the memories get. It's this morning, yeah. So you got your memory. And then he would share that. And he would say, okay, now tell me your memory. And the people would tell him their memory, their oldest memory. Maybe it was when they were a little boy or a little girl, and they would get, you know, present their birthday. Maybe it was something tragic that happened. And at whatever the story was, at the very end, he always had the same response. He would say, and there goes your life from that memory. And what he was saying is, and this is really true, there's all kinds of evidence today, our memories, we like to attach them to things. We attach them to feelings. We describe them. We say they're good or bad instead of just being neutral memories. You know what I'm talking about? If you think, let's say your first memory that you were thinking was a happy time because somebody gave you a toy, you know, you ascribe it to a happy time instead of just saying, I got a toy. You made it a happy memory. So we ascribe things to memories. We ascribe feelings to them. We will use often our memories to be trajectories of thoughts for us. It's a trajectory of, well, my life started pretty bad. Or my life was pretty good till this point, and then I had something happen. And we'll work off our memories, and they really kind of lie to us. Our memories are not particularly accurate. They're finding more and more and more in science that when we remember back, we only remember chunks and segments of memory, but our brains make us think that we're actually remembering the whole memory. But it's not really true. Isn't it weird? Memories are little liars. Dirty little liars. But yet God says make a memorial. What's interesting about these memorials, these reminders, is they're always about him. They're never about the people. They're always about what God did. God is forever. God passed over. God provided. God gives us a day for rest. He always makes it really clear in his word that the memories are really about him. Aspects of the High Holy Days. Remember what I did. Blow the trumpets. Call in my name. La 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 la. Remember who I am. Remember how I. Humans, we can take memories and we remember about us. So after Moses, there's a leadership transition. And it goes from Moses, I think it's the greatest leadership transition in the history of the Bible, from Moses to Joshua. And Moses was the guy who did all of these things, wrote all these books in the Bible, led for all those years, led out of Egypt, Moses' life resume is like a, whoa, it's the big one. It's interesting, in Judaism, Moses is the guy, he's the kind of the chief Jewish guy. Abraham kind of comes after Moses in terms of popularity because Abraham didn't write the law. Moses really is the guy, Moshe. So when Joshua took over, he learned from a guy who led them out. But Joshua's job was never to lead them out. Joshua's job was to lead them in. Joshua had a totally different job description than Moses. Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness after he led the Israelites out. Joshua's job was to take them, cross the river in, and set up a land. Very, very different. Do you see it? Leading them out, keeping them alive, 40 years listening to God here and there, to and fro, the complaining. Moses, we're having this again. Moses, we're having that again. Joshua gets to lead towards something. Very different. So Joshua, in the book of Joshua, Joshua gets to write his book. And in the book of Joshua, he takes these lessons from Moses, memorials that God had given Moses, things that he himself had learned, and he made some of his own memorials. Now, God was involved in some of them. Some of them, one in particular, God was said, just do this. But other ones, Joshua picked up on, and the Israelites, Joshua and the Israelites, just started creating their own memorials for the Lord. This is the first one. Now, this the first one I'm going to use today. There's actually more than what we're pulling out today. Joshua 4. And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed the Jordan, so now he's leading them into the land, they had crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out from the midst of the Jordan. So I put the dot, 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 because I left some of the passage out. You go read chapter 4 all by yourself, and you'll see all the gaps. But what the men did is they went into the water, and they took a rock on their shoulders. In other words, they didn't take pebbles. They didn't just stick their hand in. They were intentional. You get the idea? So they're toting a rock. And then we slide down. What do these stones mean to you? Why, take the rock. Then you shall answer them that out of the waters of the Jordan were cut off from before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When the Israelites went through, God stopped the Jordan just like he stopped the Red Sea. And they walked through on dry land. There was no water. God did the miracle again. Saying we led them out of Egypt, he led them into the land. When they crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And they're still there. I don't know where, but we know the Bible says they're still there. That God did it again. Not once, but twice. Of course, the Red Sea was the famous one. But to the Israelites going into the land, this was just as famous, don't you think? I can't imagine. So that's a memorial. Here's another one, Joshua 7. Now this is kind of a brutal one. This man named Achan, a number of you are familiar with Achan. Achan is, the Israelites are supposed to go to fight this country, Ai, and they're supposed to go and kill everybody and not plunder anything, not take anything, just kill every living thing. And, you know, that basically that was do nothing with anything there. But this guy got selfish, he got greedy, he took some gold, some silver, some clothes. Fashion mattered back then, just like it matters today. And he buried them in his tent, and they got the Israelite army because he kept this stuff when they went to fight. He absolutely got slaughtered. And Joshua, you know, petitioned the Lord, and the people were upset. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And God said, basically, deal with this guy. Now that's a whole backdrop. Joshua had to go deal with Achan. And Joshua said, why have you brought trouble on us? Adonai will trouble you this day. Then all Israel stone him with stones. Burn them with fire and stone them with stones. This wasn't just Achan, by the way. It was his whole family. The whole pile of them. The whole kit and caboodle of Achan, whoever is related to Achan, ended up stoned to death. Then Adonai turned from the fierceness of his anger. He was satisfied that they were all stoned. Ooh, he was mad. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Those stones, that heap of stones that still stands to the day, that is a memorial. It's not a happy memorial. Don't go against what God says. Listen to him. Another one, Joshua 8. Only the livestock and the spoil of the city. They go back to fight Ai again. And God's saying, you're going to go back and fight, but only the livestock and the spoil of the city that Israel took as booty for themselves according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. So in other words, they take the gold this time. They go to one city, and they're not supposed to take it. But in this case, God says, take it. Take it all. Take the good stuff. You get that gold and silver. You take it. And they did. They took it. God provides. They made a memorial. You see it? And you shall do to Ai as kings. This is kind of, this is the rest of the verse here. Only the spoil and cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. You get the idea. All right, last one. Joshua 22. Now, this one's a bit chunky. This is kind of an odd one. They go into the land, the Israelites. They go into the land. There's 12 tribes of Israel, right? The land is divided up amongst the 12 tribes. The Levites don't get their own land. They stay around the temple. They have specific duties. But the other 11 tribes are assigned land to go. Now, 2.5 tribes, Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh, don't get land on the side of the river. They kind of get it in this outlying area. So what they decide to do is build a great big altar for the Lord. And when I say big, apparently it was massive and really massive. And the other tribes inside the land all heard about it, and they're like, oh, great, now they're going to start their own thing over there. They're going to start their own altar. They're going to start doing their own thing over there. And they were very, very upset. But I love how Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh replied. And it will slide down, so your descendants, well, I'll just read the whole thing. But in fact, we have done it. This is why they're saying, this is why we did it. It's not to make you mad. It's not to serve another god. In fact, we have done it for fear, for a reason, saying, in time to come, in the years that pass, your descendants may speak to our descendants, saying, what have you to do with the Lord God of Israel? For the Lord has made a Jordan, a border between you and us. You children of Reuben and children of Gad, you have no part in the Lord. In other words, you're on the wrong side, and everybody in the future, they may forget that you were put over here intentionally. So your descendants would make our descendants cease fearing the Lord. Therefore we said, let us now prepare to build ourselves an altar, not for burnt offerings nor for sacrifice, but that it may be a witness. It's just going to stand there between you and us and our generations after, so that we may perform the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifices, with our peace offerings, that your descendants may not say to our descendants in time to come, you have no part in the Lord. In other words, I'm building this altar here so you don't forget that we're part of you. It's a big effort to be remembered with everybody else. But they were concerned. I think it was very prudent. They weren't trying to start anything separate from God. They were trying to start something to make sure they'd always stay with God. So here's where this comes to us. I know people that will look at buildings, congregational buildings, as memorials. And they'll say, I don't want to go, or I think in the new place we should expect to be more anointed, or any side of the spectrum like that. Do you know what the building is? It's just a sheep shed. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are the sheep shed. That's all it is. We have memories here. Boy, do we ever have memories here. Good and bad and challenging. But let's, if we think back, if we think of these memorials that Joshua went through, think about them in terms of us. The Lord led you here. Lord led him into the land. That, they built a memorial for that. But what about you? You came here. So when you think of this building, think, you know what? The Lord led me here. The Lord led me to Beth Messiah. Let this building be a reminder. And when we're in a new building, let it be a reminder that he led you there. The next one, listen. Remember, listen? Listen to the Lord. If there's ever one thing that matters to me personally, it's not just to listen, but to be doers. Not just hear, but be doers. So you know what I mean by listen. Listen, do. Now, Beth Messiah, we'll always look to do. Wherever we are, whatever our address is, wherever we're identified, we're going to be doers of the word. The provider. He is the provider. We have gone through more ups and downs here at Beth Messiah. When I think of this building, I so much more, every year that's gone by, I think in terms of this building of provision. Because the math doesn't make sense. And some time ago, I had the chance, about 10 months ago, I had the chance to speak on the Lord's provision and how he's provided. We were in a lawsuit with a gas station next door, legal bills that were in excess of $1.5 million. They had gas leaking. It's as simple as that. We wanted them to clean up their gas. And we spent 2 years proving that the gas leaking was from their gas station. They fought us, and they said that it's not from their gas station. It is. And then they changed their mind. Then we spent 3 years getting the state of Wisconsin to change a law. Wisconsin is one of only two states that gas fumes of a certain amount were not considered illegal. The other 48 states, they were illegal because they were toxic, but Wisconsin, they weren't illegal. So we got that state law changed. There was a state provision. It's actually a law now. Thanks to our lawsuit and what God provided in our lawsuit, that if you smell gas fumes of a certain amount, that would be considered illegal. So that was 5 years. So 2 years and then 3 more years, so 5 years total. You get the idea. It just kept going like this. And God provided financially. We've never been a big money operation. As far as I know, we've never even had anybody wealthy here or a sister congregation. But we have faithful. That's what we have. We have faithful. And we'll go all the way with faithful. And God will provide. And that's what he did. And that's just the lawsuit. We had a flood, filled our whole 5,000 square foot basement with water. This whole first floor, 10,000 square feet, between 1 and 4 inches of water. It was in 2010. We thought, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Who's going to pay for this? Well over $150,000, but God sovereignly provided this whole story. If we look at our debt, including the lawsuit, the flood, and any other damages and repairs and life, and our cost for bills and electric, and we look at the money that was coming in, it doesn't really make sense. But then somehow on top of it, we got enough money to buy a building in Menominee Falls. It doesn't make sense. So when I think of this building, I just see God's provision. And you might not see it that well. You might not be really familiar with this building. But trust me, God's provision. We found in 2006 was the start of our lawsuit with the gas station. 2010 was the flood. We found something from 2007, so after the lawsuit, we owed $350,000 in this building. We wrote a check and put $1 million down in another building. So not only did we pay this building off, we put $1 million down in the other building. I don't even know where it came from. We've never had a big gift. I'm telling you, we've never had even a $100,000 gift. Or small, I mean, much small. We just don't get them. But God has provided. I'll just keep doing it. Now, what's interesting is, this is something for us to remember here, where the Israelites went and fought and got to take that booty back. By the way, it's really fun preaching and using the word booty. But that's scripture right there. When they got to take the booty back, remember, they had to go fight. They had skin in the game. I think as people, we all want God just to give us magically, just to rain things down in our life. But that's sometimes God says, now you go fight for it. Okay, but he'll provide. And finally, the intentionality for community, the intentionality to stay connected. God says in his word, don't forsake meeting together. Be intentional. We are very much a dependent on good relationships. We need it for each other in life. God has made us to need good relationships. We need to know how to minister to people, not just take. We're not taking, we're ministering. In fact, the word says, expect nothing in return. That's agape form of love. Don't expect back, but give. Be in relationship. Be around each other. Encourage one another. Because there's hard times, isn't there? That hang in there. When I think of this new building of ours, it's not simply just we're not building a shrine. We're building a place that we're going to gather together. And we're going to fellowship. And we're going to hear stories of one another. Things that God's done in our life, or the difficult times that we can encourage each other on. That building is going to be a lot of fun in that regard. But it's going to take intentionality to coming. It's not just the first and second week because it's new and it's a novelty. But there's intentionality about it that goes on and on and on and on and on. I'm very blessed because I've seen this happen not once but twice. This was our last building. Menominee Falls would be the third time. We bought this building. This auditorium, the auditorium in that building, three of them fit in this room. It was a small little building. And then we left that building and we were here for a while. And then, ba-bam, Beth Messiah was born here. Very, very cool. I think I'm very aware of our first service. we had 5 visitors our first service, which was remarkable because the only advertising we did was written against us in the Wisconsin Jewish Chronicle. So thank you, Wisconsin Jewish Chronicle. They didn't like the whole Yeshua, Jesus, Messiah thing. So they thought they'd write a big article. And Keith, did you come because of that? Not, it was a different one? Yeah. Sometimes, you know, what's the expression? There's no such thing as bad advertising or something like that, you know. But God has been sovereign always in what he's done in our house. And this is just a building. When we go there to Menominee Falls, he'll be sovereign there too. He'll provide there too. He'll remind us of how great he is there also. And we can go on and on and on and on. Hopefully, I hope it's a building we're at for a while, because I got to tell you, this is our 3rd building, and I'm really tired. But if God wants us to keep fixing them up, we'll keep fixing them up. And we keep moving. I know for some of you it's a longer drive. For me, it's a longer drive. But what do? We get over it and we make the drive. We stay intentional about community. So I'll give you a couple things that I want to say here. We sold this place to a church. I'm very excited about that. I wanted to sell to some church or not a mosque. I just couldn't get my head wrapped around that. But the name of the church, let's see, I wrote the name down. It's called Vision for the World Ministry. And they are very excited to be here. And I didn't know the pastor at all. I spent some time with him. I really like him. I met his grandkids and just his daughter, a whole bevy of them walked through. They had at one showing probably about 20 people that came in, and they're excited to death. They rented a place, I think on 31st, and they lost their lease, which is why they wanted to get here so fast. So, blam, they're coming. They're starting June 2nd. Our first service is June 1st in the new building. We have one more week here. Our grand dedication will not be June 1st. Our grand dedication is going to happen when we get in the new auditorium that we're building. So what's going to happen in the old auditorium, we're going to meet there for a number of weeks. It faces, we're going to put the ark on a wall that it's just, it's actually the same configuration as this. We'll have to turn to the right. It's a smaller room. There's almost as many chairs in that room as there is in this room. We'll make it work. It's going to have some bumps. We've got some people working on technology right now and the sound and the media. Jenny is fully, she's got connections to learn what's going on over there, and Jenny who runs media. And then we've got all kinds of stuff happening to train us and get us ready in that new old chapel. But that's not the dedication, because we're not going to stay in that old chapel. We're going to move to the new place. And we're going to put our Torah on stage. We're reorienting the room to face east. And we're putting an eternal flame on the stage, which is a very cool thing. And it's just going to be a really neat setup. But it's going to take us a few months. Now, right now, as we speak, I got to tell you, there has been more work done in the last week in that building than it really is blowing my mind. Even today, there's more work that's being done in the building as we speak. And there's a crew coming to move more stuff from this building to that building. They put wood strips all along the cinder block wall last week. They did it in 2 days. Grace, our sister congregation, had a bunch of guys come out and just pound on this stuff and just get it done. And then the electricians were in after that, and they're putting outlets and ceiling light, wiring, the roofs, all in this old part of the building, the part that we're going to be using. And the drywall gets hung. They start hanging it on Tuesday. Now, I don't know if the cafe is not going to be done. The Oneg Cafe is not all going to be done when we're in the building, but it's going to be really close. We might have a couple weeks with no coffee, but that's all right. It's just temporary. And when it does get done, it's going to be great. We already have the chairs. We have twice as many seats as this cafe, and new lighting, and it's just going to be—it's going to be as nice as can be. But it's going to be a mess, so bear with us for that for a little bit. Can you do that? Some of you are going to have to bring coffee and bear with us. It's usually as long as there's coffee. You know, don't forget, some of us, we care about what goes in our body, so we don't drink that stuff. How many of you don't drink coffee? Thank you for your good testimony. I'm just teasing it. All right, so in this building, there are 2 post-it notes on some items. They're this color. That means you can take the items. There's TVs like this. There's TVs hanging up. There's smaller TVs. There's a bigger TV downstairs. You have to go in all the rooms. There's most rooms have one or two things with these post-it notes. You can take it. Here's the catch. You have to get it out by next Friday. There's nobody that works here during the week. So you most likely come tomorrow or on Wednesday night. Okay? No one's going to come here, so you can load up your truck. So you got to figure out how to do it around hours. Maybe, or you can do it next Saturday if you want to, right after service. But that's it. It's going to go, and it's first come, first serve. I'm going to announce it to Grace tomorrow, a sister congregation, and they might take it before you. So if you want it, take it. Now, if you want to, you can put an offering in the tithe box and say, hey, look, I took this, and you can have some money. You don't have to. I'm not going to come and strong arm you. I won't even know if you took it, although God will. No. Remember, it's one of those two kind of weird-looking post-it note colors. And please don't move the notes from one item to another item. Had rummage sales where people did that. They changed prices. And you're like, oh, really? Are you that desperate that you want to save like $2.99 or whatever you're saving? I tell you. A lot of things in this room are not going with us, just for a sense of things. So just, you may be curious. The chairs are not going with us. The lights are not going with us. The projectors, the screens are not going with us. In this room, the only thing that's really going with us are the computers in the back and the instruments on the stage. That's it. Now, let me tell you, I'm so excited because we're not taking these chairs. We are taking the Torah cabinet, the Ark, and the Torah inside. Don't you think that'd be appropriate? Yes. We're taking a few of the cafe tables, two short cafe tables with four chairs each, need homes. I didn't put post-its on it, so if you need one of the cafe tables in the back, that's a shorter one that with four chairs around it. First two people to tell me, gonna have them. But you got to get them out. Okay? If you want to see what's available, just walk through afterward, and you'll see little post-it notes here and there. Don't take the post-it note off. It's first come, first serve. That post-it note stays until that item's gone. First come, first serve. You might intend to take it, but if somebody takes it before you, they win. No haggling. Okay? What else can I tell you? Some of you, if you're looking for the address in the front row, I've got some pieces of paper that have our new digs, our new address on it. And I'm going to make sure, I'm going to check my list, make sure I got all the big stuff. I think I do. I know there's a lot going on, so thanks for bearing with me here. Oh, I do have a couple other bits and pieces. When we go to the new building, you can park around the whole thing, not in the front grass, but there's actually parking on the three other sides. There's doors on both sides of the building. There's the ramp for wheelchairs or walkers is on the west side of the building. So the main doors have these two parking spaces for wheelchairs for handicap parking, but on the other side of the building is actually where the ramp is. So if you don't want to take stairs, park on the west side of the building. It's strange to me. Why do you have the handicap parking on this side of the building if the ramp's on the other side of the building? I don't get that. We'll be changing that later. We're going to be roping off parts of the building. We don't want children or others to walk through it. So if you see stanchions, you know, little ropes, please make sure your kids or other people don't go back there. Sound good? It's a big building. We don't know where some things are sticking out. They're not safe yet. Also, we don't want people we don't know walking around our building just making themselves at home. I think you can understand that. And somebody will. They'll start looking around and like, you know, just don't do it. We'll have an open house when things get done. On the outside of the building, there's a cross. We are taking it down. No, we're not heathens, but we don't need to leave a cross outside to know that we believe in the Lord. Amen? It's very Jewish not to have a cross. I think we can appreciate that. So we're not going to have a cross because we're Beth Messiah and we're not a church. Well, my church has a cross. Good for them. You're not mad with the cross coming down, are you? Because if you are, I would just say we're probably not the right place for you. That's true. Don't forget that old chapel's temporary, so when we're squished in there, it's temporary. If you don't like it, Christina Chapman, she can tell you a few things. Not at all. I'm just having fun at her expense. One last thing. Next weekend, don't forget to shorten service, wear your work clothes. I think of how the Israelites packed up the Mishkan, the tabernacle. What a job that was. They probably didn't wear their best clothes. It's okay. The Lord loves us. He knows that we're doing right by Him when we come here wearing clothes to clean up next week. That's all right. Might feel strange. Maybe even open-toed sandals. It's okay. Okay. I did good. Now, I want to close with this. Do you remember why we're moving? Let's not forget why. We needed parking. We had 36 parking spots here. And we can't park in the bank lot. On Sundays, our sister congregation can park in the bank lot. They have growability. We can't park in front of the barber shop, which means part of Capitol Drive is closed off to us. Parking, parking, parking. We started to realize we were losing between 1 and 6 cars per Saturday. They would pull in the parking lot, they would see no spots, and they would drive out and go home. 1 in 6 cars, they weren't even staying. So we decided, we went on a mission, that we were going to buy a bigger parking lot, and hopefully it came with a building. So we got a whale of a big parking lot with a building and a whole bunch of grass on the back side of the parking lot. So if we want to, someday we can park in the grass. Don't do it now. We don't need it. But we're going from 36 spots to roughly 90 spots, 87 spots. And we're getting bids to widen the parking lot even more. So we can, when all said and done, we'll have somewhere around 100, 105 spots. And all we need right now is about 50. So we're going to do really well with parking places. So that's one reason. Another reason is on Wednesday nights we have joint ministries. Us and our sister congregation meet with children's ministries on Wednesdays, and we needed more room for our children. You know, our children are worth a new building. So those are the two reasons. Parking, by far and away, why we're moving there. By far and away. There's nothing wrong with this building, and the church on Sunday is going to have parking galore. The Saturday congregation, if they would ever start in there, they are going to have big problems. That's what it was. God provided. It's the most amazing story of sequencing and timing. Someday I'll retell it. Or if you've been around, if you know it, then you tell other people and encourage them. Amen? Please stand up. Let's pray for us. God, you do know that it was your own hand that brought this to be. The timing and the sequencing, the provisions, the walking us through. You've always been with us. You've always led us. We thank you for it, Lord. We're looking forward to the leading in the new territory. Now, Lord, we know we've got another week here. Help our planning go well this next week. Please keep people safe in the move and the construction and these sorts of things. Help us enjoy these last days. Help us remember the memorials that you've worked so we can always think back of you and inform our feelings to you. Because you're what's right. You're the truth and the way. Thank you for your goodness, Lord. B'Shem Yeshua. Amen. Yevarechach Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav eliecha v'yihunecha. Yesei Adonai panav aliecha v'yasem lacha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. What a great Lord we have. Amen. So there is an